Welcome to Bible Foundations Program. It's my delight to be with you today. I'm your host, Jerry Smythe. And it's our joy to be looking at God's Word in a perspective that gives an overview that we call a panoramic view of the Bible, fitting together the pieces of Bible knowledge that you've picked up along your lifetime and putting them together as God gave it in chronological order. After all, He's the one that started time. And when we look at things in the order that He gave them, then we can have a better understanding of who He is. We can know who He is through the Bible. And that was our lesson the last time we were together, introducing the Bible as God's Word. And, of course, the Bible teaches us that God is the focus of the Bible. It's His story. In fact, the story of God. The story of God revealing Himself to mankind, to you and I. Real live people then to real live people now. He had it put in His Word, that is the Bible, and it'll be our joy to skim through the surface events of the Scripture to lay the foundations that are necessary to understand what God is saying to us today. Oh, it's not complicated. It's just putting the foundations in proper order so that we're building our framework of understanding about God in a way that makes sense and fits together the way He intended it to. Now, because we're just working from foundational truths, we'll be skimming over a lot of the portions of Scripture that are very fondly thought of and are heartwarming events of God interacting with people. But there are some things that we cannot just skip over. We must lay them as foundations so that our house of understanding about God can be accurate and true. There's much confusion in the world today about the Bible, about who God is, where He came from, and what He's like. Is He really a living being? Many people are asking themselves those questions today. And we're going to have a look at the Bible and what it says. Now, you'll remember that the Bible tells us exactly what God wanted us to know. In 2 Timothy 3:16, we discovered that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, God breathed His Word into the hearts and minds, and sometimes audibly, sometimes in visions. Sometimes He just implanted it into the minds of those special people that were known to us as prophets. They were called prophets because they were people who spoke for God as He put the words into their minds, and He told them exactly what to write as they wrote the Bible. So we have God, the witness of God Himself, given to us in the revelation of the Scripture, telling us who He is. Now you remember too that 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 told us that, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. No private interpretation is allowed here. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God breathed it into them, and they wrote down what He wanted them to write. We're reminded also that that God Himself and the writers and the characters throughout the Bible revered God's Word very highly. It was sacred indeed. Psalm 119:89 quotes the psalmist saying, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." And then we're reminded too of the power of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and from the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Well, in Psalm 138, verse 2, we read, "For Thou hast magnified Thy Word above all Thy name." God's Word is important. God holds His Word above His name. And so we must not just discard what He has said to us. We must take it very seriously, for it tells us how to know God and to know who He is and know how very much He wants to communicate to us. Now, we mentioned yesterday that those who recorded the Scripture originally, and even those who translated it in those early centuries, among the Hebrew people were guided by the Word of God itself. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, Deuteronomy 12, 32, Proverbs 30, verse 5, Revelation 22, 18 and 19, all speak specific instruction to the people who handle God's Word and say, "Ye shall not add to the Word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." And so the Word of God was held very, very sacredly by the Jewish people originally as they wrote it, and then in the time of Christ and after that time during the apostles who wrote the New Testament, the Word of God was handled very carefully and kept accurate. And we have even the accuracy preserved until this day because God is able to preserve His Word. You see, in Psalm 119:152, it says, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." Psalm 119:160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Matthew 5, 18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." And then Matthew 25, 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." 1 Peter 1, 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever." And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we see that God's word given to us in the Bible is to be taken serious indeed. And we see that as we've looked at the introduction of Scripture, that the most important thing we have to learn from the Word of God is what God is saying to you and I today. Now, I'd like for us to look in the very first part of our Bibles. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse of the Bible. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." You see, God introduces Himself by explaining to us that He was there when it began. He was there alone. He alone was there. There were no people yet on the earth. There was no one to contradict Him. He was the one who can tell us what it was like when the earth began, because He was there. He was there alone. You see, He's God. And the Bible tells us very much about Him. It tells us who He is and what He's like and how we can know Him. You see, God is the main character and central focus of the Bible, and He's the one who gave His message to us, because the Bible is a true book of history. It is true history. It's history from God's perspective. It's God's story, or as someone has so correctly said, the Bible is His story. The Bible is His story, and we're going to learn about God from God Himself. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't it something that He, the supreme being of the universe, would care so much to give us the detailed understanding of who He is? He delights in communicating with you and I. He delights in communicating with people who will simply listen to what He has to say to us. You see, we're going to study what He says about Himself in His Word. Sometimes, as in today's lesson, we'll study specific statements that He's made about Himself. At other times, we'll learn about Him through studying what He does. He's an active being, you see. He's a person with personality, and He delights in letting us know just who He is and how much He cares for us. And we'll learn what He has done, and through the events He's recorded in His Word, we'll have a better picture of who He is and how He can tell us about Himself. Now, God has given us a wealth of information, and why would He do this? Because He wants us to know Him. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, God says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord." How great is God? How important is He? Did he have a beginning? Will he have an end? Where did he come from? What does God need? Let's see how God answers these questions in His Word, the Bible. You see, God is the center of it all. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Before there was ever a beginning, there was God, and God alone. God gave us these words so that we would know that He was there and that there was a beginning to all things. Everything we can see and everything we know about but can't see had a beginning, except God Himself. You see, before the beginning, there was no universe. There was no earth. There were no angels. There was no devil. There were no plants. There were no animals. And there were no people. All of these had specific beginning. You see, God alone had no beginning. God will have no end. God alone is eternal. He's supreme. He's sovereign. You see, before anything came into being, God existed as He does now and as He will forever. We're not going to make a chart now. We're going to make a chart to list some things about God that will help us to understand who He is and how He's different than we are. Now, if you'd like to come along, first of all, you should have your Bible on hand and always be following with me in Scripture that confirms the statements we're going to make. And so just a moment, we'll be turning to Psalm chapter 90, verse 2, that confirms the next statement that we're about to make. But why don't you just grab a piece of paper and a pencil, too, and put down some of the things that will show us how to compare what God is as to who we are, so that we can understand how much greater He is than we are. That's very important for us to understand. Now, let's first of all write down on the left side of our page about God that God has no beginning and will have no end. Now, that's in contrast with man who is born and dies, you see. Now, Psalm chapter 90, verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Thou art God, you see. We understand that He and He alone is God. There was never a time when God did not exist. He did not have a beginning. He was not created, you see. He's always been alive. He's always been there and always will be the same. There never was a time when God does not exist. There'll never be a time when God does not exist. You see, God can never die. God is different than we are. We're limited to a human body, as we'll see in just a moment. God is not. We'll get into that. But first of all, it's important to understand a basic concept about who our God is. The Hebrew word for God is Elohim, and it means, because of its ending, that it's a plural name with a singular meaning, and it suggests the uniplurality of the Godhead. In the beginning, God. God who is one, and yet somehow more than one. Is that difficult for you to comprehend? Well, let's have a look at it. Let's see that God is God. He's eternally one God. But look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Who was God talking to Himself? Well, that's the Trinity communicating within itself. One God, and yet He talks about us and our. Now, we aren't going to study this verse right now, but we do just want to look at the pronouns us and our. For even in Genesis 1, you see, the word for God is plural, Elohim. As we study God's word, we'll discover that although there is only one God, there are three persons who are equally God. Who are these three persons? All of three persons are named in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, as we see so often in Scripture, the Holy Spirit. We use the word Trinity to describe these three persons who are the eternal God, the one eternal God. So, God had no beginning and will have no end. Man is born and dies. Now, secondly on our chart, God is a Trinity of three persons. Man is only one person. As we study the Bible, we'll see these three persons at work, and we'll learn much more about them. Boy, what a joy it is to realize that God is infinitely greater than we are, that He's beyond our human comprehension. You see, He had no beginning, and He have no end. The only way we can know that is that God told us that about Himself. And the same thing has to be understood when it comes to the Trinity. You see, for now, we'll just establish that these three persons are one God who is eternal, and that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all equally God. There is the Father who is God, there is the Son who is God, and there is the Holy Spirit who is God. Does that seem confusing to you? Well, yes, it does, when we limit our thinking to our own human understanding, because we can't understand how three can be one and one can be three. You see, God is so much greater than we can imagine. The Trinity is indeed beyond our understanding, and so we accept by faith what God has said to us, because He has proven to reliable, and what He says can be comprehended from the perspective that He presents it to us. We can only describe what we understand from God's Word. The amazing fact of the Trinity is just one of the things that shows us the greatness of God, greatness that is beyond our ability to comprehend, because, you see, He is supreme and sovereign. God alone existed before all things. God is completely independent of everything and everyone. You see, because God existed before all things, we know that He had need of nothing to sustain Him. God was there alone, before the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the galaxies. You see, He does not need the earth or anything in it. He doesn't need to breathe like we do. He doesn't need food to eat like we do. He doesn't need water to drink like we do. God doesn't even need the sun. He can see perfectly without any light. He doesn't need to sleep. He has no need of day or night. God doesn't need any source of energy. And He never gets tired, thirsty, or hungry. You see, God needs nothing. And that's the third thing to write down on our chart, is that God needs nothing, but man needs food and water, air, sleep, light, protection. You see, we're limited to our human body, but God is not. He's greater than anything that we can comprehend, because He's beyond the reach of our understanding as a physical human being. He's greater than we are. Read with me in Isaiah 40, verse 28. It says this, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding." You see that? There is no searching of His understanding. Now, God doesn't need anyone to teach Him. He knows everything. He possesses all knowledge. He's aware of everything. Psalm 147, verse 5 says, "Great is the Lord, and great power. His understanding is infinite." His understanding is infinite. Now, it's important that we understand what God has to say to us, and it's important that we read from Scripture that He has given to us, that we might understand who He is and what a powerful God He is. If you'll recall, we often comment that the Scripture is the commentary on itself. And Scripture continues to show us just who God is and what a mighty, wonderful being that He is and what a personality He is. In fact, the writer of the book of Romans over in the New Testament says this in chapter 11, verse 33. "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor?" You see, He is indeed supreme and sovereign. God knows everything. You see, that's where we differ from Him again. God knows everything. We have to be taught. Man has to be taught, you see. Man needs water, food, air, sleep, light, protection. Man has to be taught. God knows, God knows all about everything. He has supreme understanding of everything, and he doesn't need to be taught, whereas we need to be taught. Even a baby needs to be taught, you see? So we want to comprehend that we are different from him. How long could we live without food and water? How long could we live without oxygen? How many days will we function rationally without sleep? How long could we survive without protection against the sun's ultraviolet rays? We are totally dependent in these areas, but God does not need anything or any person. Now, another thing that's distinct from us about God is that God does not need the earth to live on and the many other things which we human beings need, because God does not have a body as we do. God is a spirit. John 4:24 says simply, God is a spirit. God does not have flesh and bones like humans do, or like the birds or the animals or the reptiles. Because God does not have a material body, he does not have bodily needs. So God is a spirit and has no material body, whereas man has a material body. You see, we cannot comprehend one who has such ability and yet has no material body. But it's important for us to take note of the fact that God is a spirit. Now, let's distinguish his being a spirit from his being a force. Sometimes we hear references in these days that refer to God as a force. But friend, he is not just a force as some people describe him. No, God is a spirit. A trinity of three persons, all with mind and personality and will. And he is God, who has personally given us his word so that we can know him. So that we can know him, you see? Now, we are limited in our understanding. We're very limited by our bodily needs. But God has none of these limitations. God is unique in that he's every place all at the same time, you see? He is God. He is supreme alone. You ask, where is God? Where was he before everything else existed? We cannot see God. We cannot know where he is unless he tells us. We can't know where he was then unless he tells us. And through our study of the Bible, you'll repeatedly see that God is everywhere. Everywhere all at once. Now, God made everything, and he's present everywhere, and he is not in everything, as some people would like to limit him. You see, God is, he made everything, and he's present everywhere. He's not just simply in some things. He's the creator, distinct from his creation. God is higher than all. God is greater than all that he's made. And we see an example of this given to us in Scripture in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 23 and 24, which read like this. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? You see, that's what he tells us about himself. He's in all places on the earth. God is here right now. He's here with me. He's here with you where you're listening. And he can see all. You see, sometimes we're especially busy. When we're especially busy, it might seem to us that we'd like to be more than one place at a time. But as much as that might seem to be nice, boy, it's just not possible. We're limited to being in one place at a time. It's kind of like when you look at God, the little boy, when hearing about who God is, he responded, God is so big, he doesn't have to go anywhere. He's everywhere all the time. You see, man can only be in one place at a time. God and God alone is able to be everywhere all the time. Since God is everywhere all the time, is there any place you can be or go where he is not? Is there any place that you can hide from God? Well, the psalmist David wrote Psalm 139, and he deals with this subject particularly. Let me read it for you. In fact, follow along with me if you will, please. Psalm 139, beginning with verse 7. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. You see, God is different than we are. He doesn't need light. He can be everywhere all at once. We can't comprehend a one who had no beginning and who had no end. We can't imagine a person who is three in one. We cannot understand who a person could be that never had need of anything. And we cannot fathom the one who knows everything. We cannot understand or see one who is a spirit. We're unable to know what it's like to be everywhere all at the same time. But Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 6 has something special to say about this as well. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. You see, he's different than we are. He's different than we are. We must simply admit that there is one who is infinitely greater than all. One who is in every way superior to us. The way we describe God's infinite superiority is to say that he is sovereign. Now, Webster's dictionary says that sovereign means ruler, supreme in power, chief, efficacious in the highest degree. That means effective in the highest degree. The Bible often refers to God as the Most High. Psalm 83, verse 18, calls God the Most High over all the earth. The Most High over all the earth. Isaiah 45, verse 5, God says, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. So you see, adding to your chart, God is greater than all and more important than all. He is the highest authority. And over on the right column, we should put down that man is under God's authority and should listen to everything that God says. You see, God alone could tell us about the beginning because he's supreme and sovereign. Only God was there. God was there before the beginning of everything. Put that down on your chart. Man was not there before the beginning. He who had no beginning knows all that came to be and how it came to be. And in the Bible, he's given us the record of all the beginnings. Now, God is great beyond our imagination. He is truly greater than all. He alone had no beginning, and he alone will have no end. He is a Trinity, the great God who is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He has need of nothing. He has no bodily needs because he's a spirit. He's in all places, all at the same time. God is greater than all and more important than all. He is the Most High. He is sovereign. He alone can tell us about the beginning because he alone was there. Now, in the time before us, we'll continue to study together what God has said to us about himself. But just by way of review, this recording, let's just remember that there never was a time when God was not living. God doesn't need anything to exist. There are three living beings who are one God that we call the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is no place on earth, in our galaxy, or in the entire universe that God is not. He is everywhere, all at once. God is sovereign. He alone is supreme in power. He's chief. He alone is efficacious or effective in the highest degree. You see, God is the Most High. Is he the Most High in your life?